ತನ್ನಮನೋವಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಜೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾಮಯ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತ ಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರ ಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗನಾ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಂ ಸಹಗನ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾಂ ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನೀ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಪಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುವೇಶ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧು ಬಹೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇ ನಮೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಚಾರಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ
So we are serving Deva Dharma under Srila Prabhupada's guidance. It's 17. So far last week what we discussed, that very simple way that origin of everything, cause of suffering, cause of any question, there has to be a source. So every philosopher, those are coming down descending process or ascending process, they're trying to address the origin of everything as Brahman. And that Brahman is defied. Now you may say, well, in the West, they don't talk about Brahman. They do, but in English word. All this idea, misconception of black hole, or whatever you say, higher intelligence, all these things boils down to the same conception, misconception of Brahman. Maybe they put it into different wording. And originally it was taken Brahman because it has a, Brahman is a very unique addressing the origin of everything in a very poetic form where you can draw many meanings. So according to their realization, they have given their theory to understand what is Brahman. So there is a one type of philosopher we discussed. They say that Brahman is origin. Brahman was there before and till now is Brahman, and after everything over will remain Brahman. But what you are seeing difference besides Brahman is wrong. So you have to correct your seeing vision. confusing one thing with another. This is their philosophy. You are confused seeing one thing with another. Therefore, you try to come back to good perception. Then there is another philosopher who says, actually, originally it was impersonal everything. Then impersonal manifested in the material world, came in contact with Maya, now became inert matter and the living entity. Follow. This is another philosophy. Then another philosophy comes that no, Brahman is endowed with inconceivable potency. And that inconceivable potency is where we, maybe last page we had. Ekam eva parama tattva sabhaviki achinta shakti. Ekam eva parama tattva. The Supreme Absolute Truth is one, but it is endowed with inconceivable potency. That inconceivable potency manifests the Absolute in four features. Sun, God, sun globe, Prabhupada also called this, and sun shine or sun rays and reflection of the sun. Similarly, Absolute Truth, God, His unlimited incarnation, unlimited abode, unlimited associate. Then the third one is the living entity in the material world, and the fourth one is the material world. These all together Absolute Truth, also Brahman. So when we hear, oh, this Acharya says Brahman, we have to know what is the meaning underlining the word Brahman. So it is not the God we are inquiring, it is the conception, explanation or definition of God that we are interested in. That properly align with the scriptures and explain as it is thoroughly. So then Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, he explains that those who thinks that actually everything is Brahman, but what you seeing or what you thinking or what you seeing the difference, not Brahman, is your illusion. You have to change it. And we don't accept that, but we should know that this exists a big time. In America also. And one group is growing so vast and they are catching actually most of the highly educated professors and scientists and are falling for this kind of group. They are big time. And their whole idea of Brahman is misconceived. Their whole propaganda is that you are confused one thing with another. What you are saying is not true. And you say, what are you saying is not true? So what they're saying is not true, to back up their opinion, they cite something but they don't know the meaning of it. And when you challenge it, they fail. But those are fools. They will fall for it. And that's why that group is growing like anything, because it attracts. They use common logic. In your dream, you may be seeing a tiger. Prabhupada quote this many times. Tiger attacking you and you are so scared. Tiger, tiger, oh, I'm going to die. And then somebody next door, next to your bed, woke you up. Hey, you're making noise. Oh, I'm so happy. What a happy about it. There's no tiger. Where is the tiger? You are dreaming, stay awake. So that group they say, stay awake. And if you stay awake, never go to sleep, then you are done. Wake up. Don't sleep. If you sleep, you are scared. So then they come up with the idea that actually tiger was never there. This whole idea of tiger and feeling, experiencing, this is all illusion. Stay awake and you will never fall for it. Then comes idea of individuality, then comes idea of illusion, then idea comes of how to recognize this into our how to make it our appropriate level of understanding. The Vaishnavas, they also say, apani apado javano grihita. Very sweet. Pashyati achakshusa sasrinuti akarna. The Supreme Lord exists. He has a beautiful form. He has a beautiful features, characters, qualities, everything. But not mundane. Then you will see some group also agrees with that. Right here in Ginsburg. But when you say, okay, explain further. Well, he's a spirit. God is spirit. Oh, very good. God is spirit. What is the spirit about it? Is the spirit eternal or temporary? Well, it's eternal. Okay. If the spirit has a form, or no form. Well, it's a spirit, not like material form. Okay. Did Jesus meet his father? In resurrection, he met his father. If he is a father, why he had to go to meet his father? Well, he met his father. Father is different than him. So is that father is a person? He has a personality, he has a characteristics, he has a qualities like merciful. Yes, yes. So he has a form, not like mundane form. Good. What is the spiritual form about? Well, it is not like mundane. That's all they can say maximum. And if you pressure a little bit more, then they will say, spirit means it's like energy. Which has no form. So Jesus met his father, who is the energy. So if energy is the father, where is the energetic? You understand the big loophole in the philosophy? If you say Supreme Father is energy, energy is not a source. Energy has to have a source. Also, Isaac Newton says, in the conservation of energy, there is no annihilation, only transformation, or no destruction. So what that tells you? That there was impersonal Brahman. Now it took two forms, living entity and the material world, inadvertent. What does it sound like? Mayavad. So then if you go back way, the Christianity is not Mayavad. Well, you boil down, you pressure the educated who is minister or pope or somebody educated, you push, see where it goes. That's why it says, Hare Guru Prabhu's question to Prabhupada, explanation to Prabhupada, that Plato and Aristotle, when their view, which is 300 BC, that one view is that the spirit is existence and visible with matter. Prabhupada said, we don't accept that. Then, other philosophy, both Plato and Aristotle gave a very nice, that spirit can be manifesting with the matter, also spirit exists eternally separately from matter. Prabhupada says this is Vaishnavism. That is, we understand our existence. But unfortunately, the biggest spiritual group in the world accepted the other prophet. That means if there is no matter, you also don't exist. Like a Jains. You know Jains? There's a big group in India, very rich people, Jains. You push the button, you talk to them in philosophy. Who are you? I am Atma, soul. Is Atma separated from the body or it's one with the body? Oh no, it's separate from the body. Oh, that sounds like us. We also believe soul is separate from the body. Is the soul separate from the body? Yes. So, when soul dies, when body dies, the physical body, is the soul also die? No. Oh, that's very good. That is Krishna conscious sounds like. What happened to the subtle body? Subtle body carries the soul. So body and the soul are separate. And the subtle body carries the soul. When the subtle body dissolves, what happened to the soul? That's also dissolved. Oh, so you are a fancy form of atheistic. You follow? That's also almost like a Judaism. If you read the commentary of the rabbis on the 5th chapter that we call Torah, if you trace it, that the spirit and matter are separate, and then when the matter drops, then the spirit goes with a subtle elements, they say, sophisticated way. This is what the 5th chapter of Torah explains. But then if you go further, what happens when the subtle elements dissolve? Nobody knows. Then they start speculating. All the rabbi gives their own opinion what they think. They're almost exactly like Jains. But most of the common people never discuss this detail. We are the only Hare Krishna people like discuss so details of everything. The biggest group, even Mormons, it's good to know very details why. It's not like we are fanatic. We are trying to understand that how Krishna consciousness is the eternal religion of all souls. There is no second religion. Religion is only one. God is one. Religion is one. Prabhupada was very, not adamant, but Prabhupada was very specific about it because of this reason. Even the Mormons, Jehovah, both groups come to that state of understanding that you come from a dirt. After the ashes to ashes, what the dirt to dirt? By the Jesus mercy, like this, you became a spirit. When you die, you go back to the dirt. What happened to your existence? There is none. But when Jesus comes back, which will be sometime they are planning, someday. And this will be paradise. That time he will give life and you will come back from the dirt. Until that, you stay there. I was making a joke. I said, don't step anywhere because you're stepping all these souls, you know, because it's not dirt. I was like, but then you think about really deeply in Krishna consciousness, God, aren't we fortunate so much that we have such a nice, deep, simple explanation of the soul. What to talk about? Super soul and the Holy Ghost and the Supreme Lord Krishna. Even just basic super soul, who am I, almost none comes even close to our depth understanding. That's very unfortunate. Therefore, I see why Prabhupada pressured distributing books. We are not this body. People may think, wow, this is tired of hearing, we are not this body. Sir, this is a fast foundation. Otherwise, it's very difficult. See, after the 18th chapter, they are coming back to the same point, that what we think of Supreme Absolute Truth means. Supreme Absolute Truth means what? Then almost all the people like... So then Supreme Absolute Truth, these are the definitions. And then we ended like this. And even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see on the third, first verse, second verse, third, up to 14, very important, Prabhupada quote this. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Jat Advaita Brahma Upanishadi Tado Upaishya Tanubha Jo Atma Antarjami Sa Sangsa Vibhava Sara Aishwarya Purna Bhagavan Ja Swayam Ayam Na Chaitanya Krishna Jagati Paratatta Paramiha. It's very sweetly explained that who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Jat Advaita Brahma Upanishadi. It is a non-dual substance, one substance which has a four features. And these four features, that absolute being, his unlimited expansion, unlimited associate, holy dham, unlimited incarnation, and simultaneously unlimited living being, and this material inert, all together is absolute truth. This is our definition. But it has to be always endowed with inconceivable potency. Prabhupada says, Jiva Goswami Pad says, if you don't accept inconceivable potency, you can never understand Krishna consciousness. Very difficult, will be very difficult. Inconceivable, because it is actual fact, it is inconceivable that with our brain we cannot understand, but by the mercy and endeavor, our endeavor and their mercy, this combination can reveal. So with that attitude, we can pursue. So in the beginning of this chapter, we always should remember Supreme Absolute Truth is Lord Hari. How? That He is known as Supreme Brahman. By the desire of the Supreme Brahman, unlimited impersonal Brahman emanating from his body. Can you imagine like this? Can you think? If you can think and imagine that sloka, literally, you don't have to remember the sloka, but the translation, the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is endowed with his potency, always emanating unlimited impersonal Brahman. That impersonal Brahman is called existence. The base of the existence is that. Whether it's a material or spiritual or anything or everything. If you really go very deep within your thing, first thing you want is permanent existence. When you have a stable existence, then you want your opinion, your awareness, your relationship. Then when you are aware and everything, then you care for your feeling. Not only your existence has to be with good feeling. You are looking for happiness. But when it is emergency, nobody look for happiness, they just look for survival. This is a practical. Why this is? Because our understanding of spiritual path is divided into three categories. Our own self is three categories: existence, awareness, and bliss. Sat Chit Ananda. You know, when you go to deep sleep, what happened? You lost your awareness. You didn't even know you existed. Of course, you came out, and then you look at your watch. Yeah, I had a sleep for 6 hours. But no trace that you existed or not. Did you exist? That's why in Bhagavad Gita, if you really think very deeply, why Prabhupada stretch about Bhagavad Gita? Indriyani parani ahur indriyabha para mana manastu para buddhi buddhistha para tatsa. This is a material higher gradation, hierarchy. You can say hierarchy, material hierarchy. That the senses are superior to the sense object. You can see, you don't want it, you restrain your senses from the sense object. It's superior. But sense object cannot do that. Senses you can manipulate. And then at night when you sleep, when you go to sleep, your body, which is endowed with the senses, is also lying flat. But your subtle mind, creating another body. Your mind is creating another body and still exploring a dream. You follow? You're going here, there. That means that the dream mind is superior to the physical senses. So Krishna says the hierarchy, material hierarchy means sense object, higher is senses. Above the senses is mind. How do you know mind is above? At night, senses is collapsed. Mind is still active. Make sense? Mind is superior. Mind is still active, creating another body, going in a here, there, but the senses are lying down with the body. When you go to deep sleep, this mind also dissolves. You don't even know you are existing or not existing. You are dead or alive, you don't know. But what keeps you alive? What keeps you track that you can trace back? Intelligence. Therefore, intelligence is higher than mind. Even in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, why Krishna speaks very scientifically the hierarchy of material world. Similarly, in the spiritual also there is a hierarchy. Sat, then Chit, then Ananda. But when you say Chit, Chit has also Sat. When you say Ananda, Ananda has Sat Chit altogether. That's why the understanding is in Golok Vrindavan, even the dust, what to talk about the trees and other, we are talking other day. Even the dust is eternal, fully cognizant, fully aware who I am, where am I, what I am doing, who is Krishna. Never forget, no deep sleep, but they go to sleep. They can go to deep sleep, but they never forget like this conditioned life. In the dream covered boys, there is a verse that goes, Skana adarshanita dina sada saha biharina. Skana adarshanita dina. Even for a moment, coward boys never forget Krishna. Wait a minute. They come back from the coward pasturing field. They bathe by their mother. They ate prasadam. Now they are going to go to sleep. They are not with Krishna. Yes, they are with Krishna. Whole time they are bathing and eating, only talking about Krishna. And when they go to sleep, they immediately enter to another forest with Krishna and having pastimes. Where is the proof? In Jayavadharma it says, when Banasura, he was told by his maid servant that your only daughter, Usha, she is seeing a man. She is with a man, which is impossible, according to Banasura, that in entire Prag-Jyotishpur, the place is called Prag-Jyotishpur, is very secluded. Like nobody can enter even in the whole city. There is a 7 different kind of boundary wall made of electricity, hydroelectric, kind of shocking, weapon, many kinds that nobody can enter into this, what to talk about, palace. And what to talk about? Within the palace, only princes live there, and impossible somebody can be like. But when Banasura heard it, he was shocked. How is possible that my only daughter has a boyfriend? It's like impossible. So then the whole episode took place, that without her boyfriend, she is to show the symptom in her body where she used to unite in dream. So then we take it very seriously, because that was a Lakshmi Devi, and the husband was Aniruddha. He is also Vishnu Tattva in Dwarka. But they used to meet before even they came together. So then our Acharya, even Prabhupada, gave a very nice conclusion that this proves that in spiritual world, that we hear what we hear, even in the material world when they come to perform Leela, they are exhibiting this. They literally meet in the dream, same as physical. Like coward boys, the gopis, they never go to sleep. 24 hours a day, wake up. So if you did one day nirjala, you feel like great. But what about eternally nirjala? Not nirjala, but jagaran. Eternally never sleep. They are called gopis. They never sleep. But the coward boys, they are always with Krishna. This verse, skana adarshanito dina sadasaha biharina. Tadeva jivita prutta vayasya brajabhasina. They are so much merged with Krishna, consciousness Krishna, that they never ever forget Krishna, never in absence or away from Krishna. But separation is there, but the separation is dancing on the top of the union. You know what I'm talking about? Separation is dancing on the head of the union. Each coward boy, even in 12th chapter, Prabhupada gives a very nice, how many coward boys, he says, innumerable. Prabhupada translated like that, Srila Prabhupada. And each coward boy, when they meet with Krishna, they think, he has so many millions of friends. But today, he's giving me 100% to me all the time. He feels guilty that I'm depriving all other friends. But this is my greatest opportunity, fortune, that I'm going to serve my friend as best as possible. And he's so excited. And he always feels like he can leave, so I better serve. But this happens every day with every coward boy. You follow? There's many references like this. In Govinda Lilamrita, by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He says in Govinda Kunda, Krishna told the coward boys, I'm going to go drink some water and run back. So he go when they are drink some water with the hand like this. In India they do, you'll see. They don't need a cup or anything. Just go like this, crystal water in a lake or something. Drink it. A Ganges also. Nobody carry cups or lota. Some people do. So then Narad Muni was surprised. Wow! Everybody saw he went there to drink. But when he came out, everybody saw in their own way. The gopis saw, oh, he tricked the boys and he just came to us in a forest. Now we are going to keep him. We'll do all kinds of play that he will never feel like to go back. So they never saw Krishna went back. And the coward boys saw Krishna just came back. And they started playing again. We won't let him go anywhere. We'll just play and make him happy more and more. And the cows, they saw our Lala, Krishna is so kind. He just ran back, ran to us, and he wants to play with all of us. And the calves and the cows, the monkeys, they saw Krishna ran to them. What about the peacock? They saw Krishna came to them. What about the birds? Krishna came to them. Everybody in Vrindavan, they saw Krishna only came to them. But nobody saw Krishna actually became so many. You follow? They only saw, each one saw only one Krishna went there and came to him. So as the gopis, so as the trees, so as the monkeys, so as the cow, the lion. In Vrindavan, there's a lion, snake, rat, insect. Everybody saw Krishna came to them. And everybody is jubilant, happy. This is, but the mystery, Narad Muni see it, wow. And everybody seeing their Krishna came. They did not see somebody else's Krishna. It's also Jogamaya. This is Jogamaya. Jogamaya is every. Jogamaya is not material world. Jogamaya never comes to material world, first of all. Even when Krishna come here, it's also spiritual. But we have a access due to His merciful nature. He's giving us access. Like we have access. If you are born in, you know, other Yuga, even if you are born in Dwapara Yuga, during Krishna's time, you would miss a big time Krishna Leela. I never thought that until I heard from Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, even Brajavasis, beside the gopis, nobody knew Krishna Leela of Ras Leela, the most intimate Leela of Krishna with the gopis. No Brajavasi knew, only the gopis. What about the rest of the world in Dwapara Yuga? Nobody. How did we know? Because of Sukadev Goswami. Sukadev Goswami heard everything, saw everything in his heart, and he explained. So we are very fortunate actually, more than if you were in Brajavasi. You understand? It is only mercy. Okay, now we'll start where we left over. On the 317, can you start from the top?
Page 317.
Oh, we did discuss that. You can remember the absolute truth has a, how many features? Four. One is Sharupa, Tadrupa, Vaibhava, Jiva, and Pradhan. These four features are the inferior of the sun planet, the sun surface, the sunlight, and reflection of the sun. Reflection of the sun is also powerful. If you put a mirror on the sun and it reflects to a paper, that paper can be burned or not. But if somebody sees that actually burning power coming from the mirror, not seeing the sun, he is in illusion. That is called material world. Material world, everything is running, very powerful, but we don't see actually spiritual world backing everything. Therefore, we take shelter of Prabhupada, we take shelter of Gornitai, Radha Shyam Sundar, and especially Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we will be always in spiritual. Okay. Then what happened? The example, of course.
This example, of course, explains only a small part of the Lord's nature. His Svarup, original form, is His form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. His Svarup Vaibhav, manifestations of His form, are His spiritual abode, name, associates, and paraphernalia. The Jiva Shakti is the abode of the numberless, eternally liberated and conditioned individual souls, or tiny particles of spirit. The Pradhan is the material world of subtle and gross material elements. As these four features are eternal, so the oneness of the Absolute Truth is also eternal. Someone may ask, how is it possible that the Lord is eternally manifest in these four ways, but still is eternally one? Is it not a contradiction that He is both one and many simultaneously? To this the answer is given. The intelligence of the individual living entities will certainly declare that it is impossible. But why should it not be possible? The intelligence of the individual living entity is very small and limited, and on the other hand, the powers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are beyond human conception. Therefore, for the Lord, it is not impossible.
You may hear the Krishna Leela and say, Krishna is so merged with His devotee that He is always playing and having fun. Right? What about me? I'm going through such a nightmare in Alachua, I'm praying. How do I know that He will hear? Because He's playing with the Brajavasis, Brajagopis, coward boys all the time, isn't it? This is inconceivable. That he is playing and it, it appears his fully presence, full attentively, he is fully aware of all his devotees' love over there. Then he does not have a time to think that there is alachua in material world. This is inconceivable. This is what it means. Means simultaneously he is omniscient, omnipotent. He hears every prayer, every devotee in alachua praise. And he reciprocates. One of his main qualities is he responds to the sincere prayers of devotee. We should always remember, Prabhupada put this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You wonder, like, you pray, how do you know if Krishna heard it or not? You follow? They made one, Acharya made one funny joke. He says, if you're really looking for a favor of a rich king, and you went to the forest and you're crying, oh king, please, I need wealth. And somebody will say, excuse me, the king is in the palace. You are praying in the forest. Do you know what does that mean? Sometimes somebody pray and think like, anybody really Krishna ever hear? I doubt. I really doubt anybody will ever hear what I'm praying. It's only me. Probably I'm not qualified. And then another person will say, okay, let him not pray in the jungle. He should come to the palace. And he comes in front of the gate and the gatekeeper says, where are you going? He says, I want to see the king. No, no, no. Without permission, you have to have a reason. So then he started praying. Okay, you are representative of, I'm praying to you. Well, if we pray to the security guard, that doesn't mean the king will hear. So you have to be very specific how the connection takes place. Because living entity, they have a Krishna in their heart, but they are not surrendered to Krishna. So through their reciprocation, we don't approach God. We approach through Prabhupada, realized soul. Why? Because Krishna reciprocates through them. Krishna, how do we know? Krishna himself said, sadhava ridayam mahayam sadhunam ridayam taham mat te navi janati naham tebbo manangopi. I am always residing in the heart of my devotees and devotees also in my heart. Without them I don't know anything, they also don't know anything beside me. And what about if I go to the Vaikuntha? He said, Krishna says, I'm not in Vaikuntha. Naham tishtami Vaikuntha, yoginam hridaye shubha. I'm not in the heart of yogi also. If he meditate, that doesn't mean Krishna is there. Krishna says like this to Narad Muni. So then Narad Muni says, how one can approach? Tatra tishtami narada jatra gayanti mad bhakta. Wherever my devotee is glorifying and talking about me, there I am. Will Krishna be there in a form that you are aware? Maybe not. This is another mystery. When this devotee was glorifying Hanumanji, glorifying that separation feeling of Sita Devi, said, even though Sita Devi was sitting in a nice, beautiful garden called Shokoban, multicolored crane, flamingo, birds, honeys, birds and gardens, flower, very decorative, fountain and everything. All the flowers are so fragrant and everything. And then one old man in the back, he says, this is not true. Everything was red, fiery, nothing else. And then the speaker, he was very elevated. He was looking at the old man with a beard, and chanting. And then by the mercy of his guru, he revealed that is Hanuman. He paid respect immediately. Jai Hanumanji. Because Hanuman also come to hear. In Alachua also. It says in the scripture, wherever talk about Ram, Hanumanji comes. So then speaker understood. Oh, but nobody saw. The Hanumanji. Everybody think Hanuman is like a monkey form, yeah? You don't think Hanuman with a white dhoti and a big beard and chanting like a some Baba. some mendicant in India. But Hanumanji came there like this. So like this, Krishna says that I come. Not in a form that you think you will be coming. In a form just like an ordinary person. Because Krishna has more interest to hear about Him than we are. He loves the glory of His own devotees. And why He is fascinated when devotee speaks? Because it is more tasty, and those who hears and those who are bringing others, Krishna also feel very happy. Why? Because those souls, forever their problem will be solved. Forever their problem will be solved. That's why the great slogan, the suffering is a good blessing. Sripad Radhanath Maharaj also profound this. The suffering is given by the God to let that sufferer turn towards God. That's all. Suffering is given for no other reason really. Only one reason, because he would not turn towards God. So all the problem is given so he can turn his face towards God. When he turns his face towards God and look at God and serve Him and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then what happened? Forever all the suffering goes away. So is suffering bad or what? No. But unfortunately, majority people don't take it that way. They take it in a wrong way. Counseling, medicine, this healing, that healing, this path, that path. They never turn back towards God. The original of cause of suffering is for that. Yeah?
Hare Krishna. If somebody is feeling like, I'm praying, is God listening? So if it's a person that... The point that you were making earlier about people praying and thinking, can God really listen, like he's in Vrindavan enjoying with the gopis, is he been hearing my prayers? So it sounded to me like the conclusion of that until that person either connects with a pure devotee, or if their intention is pure, eventually their prayers will lead them to a pure devotee. But at that time, they're right. Their prayers aren't going to Krishna. Is that okay?
That's true. Thank you. Okay, next. We're going to read the next paragraph.
Well, since I have the microphone, I guess I have a question. So if we want God to hear our prayers, what are we praying for?
Very good.
I mean, if we're like, give me this, give me that, save this, save that, I mean, what are we praying for? Like, why do we need God to hear our prayers? What are we praying for God to hear?
Well, there's many ways to look at it. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila chapter 8, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada gave a beautiful purport, few purport. He says, when somebody really pray to Krishna, because Krishna knows underlining of their prayers, you know, like I'm praying, but actually I have some other intention. Krishna grab the intention. And most of the intention is like, I'm suffering too much in this world, I want to get out. Yeah, so he makes him to come little forward and get that material things, whatever, that there is no suffering. He will give him a place where there is no suffering. Or somebody will say, I wanted this, I never got it. Like future Bhavishyata Manu. Future Manu that coming, you know, after this Kali Yuga later, when the next Manu coming, Shabarni, he also had the same complaint. That I suffered too much. Why God does this? Then he went through a tremendous purification. Now he's going to be next Manu, and there is a very nice where Bali Maharaj is going to be Indra. That in his purification, at the end of his journey, it was a little painful. Well, you know, I can say easily, but I'm not experiencing the pain he went through. It was very severe pain. It's a beautiful story, long story. But at the end, Shabarni comes to a point where he says, enough is enough. I think I'm tired of everything, my Lord. Since I'm hearing from the mouth of your devotee that I am eternally a servant, then let me be engaged only in that service. Nothing else I want. I only want to serve you. And to serve you, I have to please your devotee who is serving already to you. This way I can serve you easy. So please give me a shelter of a devotee who is fully engaged to you, service. This way I will be perfect. Immediately he got promoted to come back as a Manu too, so he can teach. So intention in chapter 8, Prabhupada says, the intention Krishna does not give himself. He does not give bhakti, Prabhupada says. That's very scary. Prabhupada says that Lord Krishna does not give pure devotional service to a devotee who has an ulterior motive. Because you understand pure devotional service, what it does, it literally put Krishna under that devotee. Why Supreme Absolute Truth want to be under somebody? So Krishna decides, actually you're not looking for pleasing me or serving me. You're just tired of the material world, you're just tired of the bad reputation, you're tired of the scandal, you're tired of your health, you're tired of your losing wealth, fear of death, whatever, you know, the intention is, Krishna will just fulfill that, give them a chance to somewhere where there is no death, or there is plenty of money, or plenty of wealth.
So a prayer for a material thing may well give you that material thing.
It will come.
Is that the thing you actually want?
It will come.
Because it will go away at some point.
But then Prabhupada is very merciful. I love the conclusion he gave, so nice. If you keep on chanting, simply keep on chanting, some or other, if somebody keep on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna will purify his heart. And he will be actually begging for devotional service.
So really praying for devotional service
is, yes,
the only...
Yes. At that time, Krishna will purify him through a process where he may go through some experience of his fake identity that he has to get rid of.
I apologize, somewhat related, suffering. Suffering is only given to turn the sufferer towards God.
It is.
So effectively, the sufferer is approaching God, but for relief of suffering. Not quite the right way to approach, but yet the act of approaching God still purifies you. You know, please relieve me of my suffering. It's not a pure prayer, but yet the act of prayer
itself
helps purify the prayer to future better prayer.
Yes. That's why that Shikshastakam, if you break down, first thing when we chant, it does three things removes. These are negative. Nothing about positive. Devotional service is positive function for us. Negative is that our contamination causing us attachment. I like material world. I like money. I like living, you know, on the beach or something. I like having good time, sense enjoyment. These are actually negative pleasure. But to get rid of negative pleasure is not that easy. So if keep on chanting, then it will destroy or remove. You will be still in the material world, But you will not be affected by those material needs or supply or attachment. It will transform into positive. That's why he says, Cheta Darpana Marjanam, one, negative. Then second negative, where it is kind of a transition between material world and spiritual world. Bhava Maha Dabagni Nirvapanam, where the extinguishing of repeated birth and death, actually you will feel like you are free. You will feel experiencing you are completely free, you don't need anything of this world. And Prabhupada says that this feeling is so strong that he will pursue. This will become like an impetus. It will keep on going. Then the positive will start. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam in an underlining principle means that it spreads the benediction moon. What is benediction moon? Means our relationship with the Lord will be start establishing at that time. You will feel very close to Guru Krishna. Very close. So close that you are always happy and very busy of serving. Nothing else. People may think, I'm just busy. What kind of happiness? But inside, so much happiness. Outside, maybe little poisonous type of appearance. Some people think, this is not a life. This man is like working too hard. Prabhupada was working too hard. Every great acharya, every preacher, always busy. Externally, maybe it looks like not palatable, but inside so happy that when they shown the picture to Prabhupada, you know that story probably, that your face looked morose. The psychologist, Rajendra Nandan Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, he also told me, his psychologist looked at Prabhupada for me. He looked very depressed. He's not a happy, morose person. So when they told this to Prabhupada, very depressed, they say, morose, are you okay? Prabhupada said, I'm so happy, I just don't know how to keep it like a down. So no, blowing up or something. So he's very serious. This is one time in Amsterdam. Then another time in America, when they talk about this, then Prabhupada says, they don't know what is the face of real happiness. We think we know. We think somebody is laughing, oh, he's happy. We really don't know what is the face of bliss. Prabhupada was completely bliss, but mundane psychology they could not guess. So there is a few process. Ultimately it's all one, but in the beginning, certain thing in 429-69, I believe, Prabhupada, in the end of the purport, Prabhupada says that when you practice spiritual science, Krishna consciousness, then you gather a lot of knowledge. This sambandha gyan, relation to Krishna, Krishna's relation to the material world, Krishna's relation to you, your relationship with the Krishna's maya, you have a more vision. It's like a more illumination coming in the heart. You follow? You are like contemplating, you are once in a while reflecting. You know, yeah, that makes sense. That everybody is so absorbed because soul has a natural attachment and that attachment has to divert. You like seeing things. You follow through Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada says, when you gather or impregnated, the word he used, impregnated with Sarup Shakti, internal potency of cognizant, means awareness, spiritual awareness, and pleasure potency. That time, externally you will see probably you are suffering more than average American. He didn't say American, Prabhupada, but in the purport says sometimes devotee will think that they are going through more than others. So much. I even think sometimes myself, like sometimes blown out of proportion, but it is all in my heart, has to be purified, corrected. So I have to point myself to correct myself, that this scenario is coming in my life because it was there in my heart. I don't know how I was drawn into by the Maya's influence, I'll never probably figure it out, but I have to correct it. And only way to correct it, by begging mercy and recognizing the four principles in this process, very profound. You can write it down or memorize it. Recognition, Jayadutta Maharaj spoke this with Prabhupada's conclusion of his understanding. First is recognition. You recognize that this is the problem I have. Very hard. Sometimes I say myself, I don't like this Pran Govinda Das's nature. I don't want that kind of. I'm being honest to you. I don't like a lot of character or fault within me that I'm speaking out front. Is nothing shame or anything. I don't. I want to be pure servant of the servant of Prabhupada like this. This is what I want. What I don't want, it appears maybe, and I pray their lotus feet to remove this. Please help me to remove this. I don't want to act in that. So recognition is very important, Jayadutta Maharaj made point. That when you that recognition, then remorse automatically comes, what you don't want. Recognition will emphasize you, or conviction, I want to rectify. Recognizing will push you to rectification. When you decide to rectify, when I decide to rectify myself, then automatically remorse will start coming. But I have to desire, I have to decide, I don't want any other form but serving servant of Vaishnava, servant of Prabhupada, like this. Seriously, pure desire and intensifying, if I have genuine this, then I will remorse. And that remorse will push to regret this. What I don't want. This is horrible within me, that type of character, that type of bad. I don't want. Please, please forgive me. Please rescue me. You'll cry. This remorse pushes to the regretting. Then it will automatically give you what position? Reunion with the Lord. Negative. When you have a negative, you find no way you have any shelter. You are like a lost. How terrible, horrible personality I am. I'm trying to exploit others. I'm trying to causing problem to others. I don't want to cause anybody any problem. I want to just serve. Please engage me to serve. You cry and I cry. That time you feel like you are empty, nothing. You are so insignificant. This negativity attracts positive. And that positive we need. Jayadutta Maharaj calls it reunion. Reunion. Yeah. No, it's the same. It's on the third category. So this formula that Prabhupada's book that gives is very scientific, very practical. Now, when the process goes through, externally maybe not a pleasant, but internally there is an experience of very high happiness. This negativity is also very high happiness, more than any enjoyment in this world. So this is what Cheta Darpana and Bhava Mahadavagni hands. Then come the positive reunion, Sreya Kaidava Chandika. Then everything is first class. First class means it's not anything realm of material nature's so much influence. But devotee association is the key. You're supposed to read, Prabhu.
Rajana. How do you define Vivarta Vada, Babaji? In the Vedas, there is a description of transformation Vivarata, Vivarta. But that description is not at all like what has been known as the Vivarta Vada. Shankar, not close enough, or okay. Sri Shankaracharya has used the words Vivarta and Vivartavada to mean Mayavada, the philosophy of impersonalism. The true meaning of the word Vivarta is given in these words. The word Vivarta means misunderstanding the true nature of a certain thing. The individual is a tiny particle of spirit, but when he is imprisoned in this gross and subtle material body, he becomes bewildered and thinks, I am this gross and subtle material body. Thus, he misunderstands his true identity. Misunderstanding is the only definition of Vivarta given in the Vedas. So one may think, I am Raghunath Bhattacharya, the son of Sanatan Bhattacharya. And someone else may think, I am Sadhu Chandala, the son of Vijaya Chandala. In this way, the intelligence becomes bewildered. Both of these persons are individual souls, tiny particles of spirit. They are not Raghunath Bhattacharya and Sadhu Chandala. Still, they are bewildered and they think that they are identical with the material body. To mistake a rope for a snake or the glistening on a seashell's surface for silver are other examples of misunderstanding, Vivarta. By all these examples, the Vedas teach that one should throw far away the idea that he is identical with the material body.
Now, this we accept. Mayavada also accept. We also accept. There is some similarity. I mean, if there is a war, right at this moment, if there is a news, somebody going to blow up entire America. Well, are we this body? Or we will be thinking like, what is all about? You understand the logic? If somebody really, China or somebody going to blow up America right now, and we heard the news, and we just read, and here the Acharyas, Prabhupada saying, we are not this body, but we'll be interested why they want to blow up America. Why? Because we think, I think I'm this body. I don't want to be dead. Can you see how deep down actually that attachment is there, I'm this body? It is there. You are going, you arrived at your home and somebody just put a gun and you are like nervous. Why? Because I'm this body. I'm this body we are saying, but it is actually deep down in our consciousness, blended in. You cannot separate the consciousness and this body, it's like blended in. It is so deep. That's why we are not fanatic, but we are heavily saying this. When Krishna says, Mameva je prapadyante maya metam tarantite, you cannot get out of this, I'm not this body, without me. Therefore, you rascals surrender to me. Prabhupada say like this, you rascals surrender. Because he's demanding for our own benefit. Krishna is claiming that you surrender. Otherwise, you cannot get out of this, I'm not this body. What will happen? If I'm not this body, well, there was some guy also wanted to kill Prabhupada. But was he thinking he's the body? No. Proof is there. He was chanting, middle of the night. Second time, on the third time when he is showing his knife, you know, I can kill to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, just put it down, chant. As if nothing happened. Nobody else, only that guy and Prabhupada. If he was thinking he was the body, he would not act that way. So therefore, we have to absorb in chanting and Krishna consciousness. Then it will separate. It's a very mystical that it literally separate, I'm not this body, from the soul. That time you act as a soul surrendered to God. You will be still in this body, but you will not act as a body. This is the mystic, very mystic. Prabhupada says that when a person play kite, if somebody don't look at the kite, only look at the person who is holding the pulley. You call pulley? You play ever play kite flying? Huh? No, the round thing, the thread. Spool. Okay, spool. If you look at the spool, you cannot see whether kite is going down or up. Because when the kite goes up, you let it go and pull it tight. Let it go, pull it. Let it go, pull it. When you bring it down, you do the exactly same. So Prabhupada said, all the people in this world are watching the devotee and karmi like the guy who is flying kite. By looking at the person, you cannot see whether... So people will say, the devotee is also dying, like Bibhatsa Prabhu in Lake City, he's also dying. So karmi is dying, what's the difference? A big difference. He's in the mouth of he is like a little kitten in the mouth of a cat. And then the karmi is like a mouse or mice in the mouth of that same cat. Oh, it's not the cat, it's a question of who is in the mouth. The karmi is like a mice. So these are realistic example. When we really chant and purify, then we'll come to a point where death is like a joyful. Death is not a suffering, death has become joyful. Because you just enter into spiritual world. What more excitement is there? More than any excitement you ever got. Yes, Prabhu.
So we were talking about suffering before, and I'm thinking that suffering is part of this body consciousness, right? Because if you're not the body, then you're not going to be suffering. So, that right? But then, and then this might be off track, I don't know, but I just had a question about suffering and karma. Like you're saying that, you know, Krishna has given us suffering so that we can turn toward God. Okay, so Krishna kind of created the suffering. And how does that differ with karma, where my understanding is you might have created some karma and now you're suffering because of the karma from a previous life. But you created that, right? I don't even know what my question is, but
how it is
are
related?
They related? Maybe you just talk about...
How is it related?
Yeah.
Everybody loves suffering talk.
It's because I'm Jewish, I like suffering.
It's as simple as this can be in a simple way. The karma means so long you want to serve whoever you want except Krishna. So long you want to serve anybody you want without Krishna, it's karma, period. When you serve in Krishna consciousness, that is not karma. Karma is not the activities he referred here. Karma is the consciousness behind the activities. So if the consciousness behind the activities that I want to please the devotees, I want to please Krishna, so I'll pluck some flower, make a garland and decorate Prabhupada's neck with this, because he is a great personality, has come to save me. This thought, this consciousness behind this garland, the whole activities, plucking flower, threading, bringing to temple, offering it, whole thing has nothing to do with karma. Karma means there is a reaction. But in that activity that you did, it's pure, no karma mix. Well, I'm coming back. Now, when you are acting on your own, well, I'll make a garland, I'll give it to my girlfriend, or you're going to suffer for it, because the garland was not for you. And you're giving to somebody actually for you to be happy, even though you're giving somebody, so that she will be happy and I'll be happy, my senses will be happy by her. That is karma. And problem with the karma that it gives a reaction that you cannot escape without experiencing. It is not the problem, it is not the karma itself, the danger. It's the reaction of the karma. Everything, anybody, anywhere, anytime, do anything without Krishna's pleasure, without pleasing Krishna. He has to take a reaction. Inevitable. Nothing can check. Okay, then you can say, well, then you do good karma, you'll do. There's another philosophy called Karma Kanda, Jaimini. He wrote a volumes of books. And till today, majority people in this world, even they come to God, they do karma mixed God activities. They cannot do pure, because they want to maintain their separate existence, but they want to deal with the God, but they want to enjoy their life. So then their karma is mixed with the devotion, so they are in the halfway. Sometimes they suffer, sometimes they not suffer, so it's going back and forth. Karmis are always suffering, but they don't know. See, drinking poison is also a suffering, but drinking poison actually people think is fun. The person who commits suicide, that person is decided that it is the best thing for me. Yes? Otherwise he would not do it, or she would not do it. This is painful, but it takes it as like a pleasure. So what are you going to say? This intelligence is corrupted so much that there is nothing can like raise them up or push them up. I mean, Calcutta, Prabhupada mentioned this also. I went to see in Calcutta, Kalighat, I always mention, there is like 20-30 goats every day they sacrifice. And before they bring to chop the head, they chop the head. Before they chop the head, they give a little green grass. And the goat is so happy. He goes, bah, and he's eating and very enjoyment. Then the next goat is only 1 foot from there. And they chop the first goat. And the next goat, which is 1 foot, not too far, 1 foot, literally. He has the eye open. Seeing the other goat got killed, legs are kicking. I don't know if you ever saw. I saw goats when they get chopped, they kick their leg and then the blood is coming out, the head fell in the other side, and the Brahmana is still chanting some mantras in front of Kali. And the other goat is 1 foot from there, and guess what the other goat is doing? They saw the green grass, oh, very happy. What happened that 1 foot from there that the another goat got chopped? What happened to the eye of the other goat who is happy to eat the grass? Do they see? Does he see or not see? Yes. Even though he see, but he doesn't see. Intelligence is so covered, so thick. Lot of human being, you will see same category. They are not afraid of death. You will think, wow, he's not afraid of death. He must be elevated. No, he is dumbest. Not elevated. Fear of death is a normal who thinks I'm this body. But sometimes they are so dull that they are not even afraid of death. Like Krill's friend. He went to North Carolina, Blue Mountain. He says, he went on all the way to the top. He said, look, I am not afraid. He went like this up in the peak of it, this little rock. And then boom, finished, died. Why, he's fearless. Fearless of what? Fearless of what? If you really think. Oh, they all cried, and the man told me who was there with him. Fearless of what? Stupidity? Foolishness? Then you meet some soldier. I personally interview a general. You know, two general lives in Gainesville. And you ask directly, did you ever felt fearless in the war? Oh yeah, when my friend got killed. I was so attached to my friend, I said, I'm going to kill this bunch of, you know, he used bad word. It was like a common thing, I'm not going to say that. He said, I'm going to kill them now. He went so mad, he was so fearless, he felt. Then the other officer kicked him, he said, stop, you're going to get killed, get back. But in him, he felt like fearless. Is that a fearless? Yeah, mood of rajagun, passion. The other one was mood of ignorance, now this is a mood of passion. These are not fearless. These are modes creates something they exhibit like this. Then the sattvagun fearless is there. But when we talk about fearless, we talk about eternal fearless, they're like Jara Bharat. That is devotee. The person came to kill him, they bathed him, they fed him, he ate. You may think like he's not aware of. No, he is fully aware. But what he's aware, the others could not see. The people are very happy to kill him, but they were happy in one excitement, but Jara Bharat is very peaceful. He saw Krishna is the sanctioner of everything happening. He literally saw. They put a guard, they bathed him, dressed him up, they put a garland, they put it in front of this Kharga to put his head, and they take the machetes, about to chop the Jara Bharat's head. Jara Bharat is still peaceful, he's just thinking of Krishna. That even the Kali demigod, she could not resist. She burst out from the deity and chopped the rest of the population. What to understand this? The Jara Bharat is really fearless? Yes, 100% fearless. He did not say, I need help when he was in crisis. When everything is over, he didn't say thank you. Why? He's always giving thanks to Krishna. He doesn't have to give thanks to separately some demigod or other. Prabhupada is teaching us to become like that, forever, eternally fearless. Forever, eternally. You'll never be killed. You are eternally live. Nothing can touch materially. We want to be like this, and Prabhupada, that's what he is teaching us to do. Literally, deep down in your heart, that's all we want. We want eternal existence. We want full cognizance, fully aware, and we want complete nourishment, complete happiness within through loving service. So there's requires some purification. Can we read some more? We have little time. We went on 318, no?
Okay, the Mayavadis and the impersonalists, however, reject this proper use of the word Vivarta, and they teach a funny theory that they call Vivartavada. They say that the idea, quote, I am the Supreme, is the true idea, and the misconception or Vivarta is the idea that I am an individual spirit soul. By accepting this kind of Vivartavada, one will not understand what is the actual truth. The true Vivartavada does not at all contradict the Shakti Parinamvada.
Okay, hold on, just there. So you understand why they are coming to this idea? This is actually modern scientists even. A lot of people think like this, just like this, blinded. There was nothing before creation, only Brahman. That impersonal Brahman took a two form. One is living being and the inert matter. So Vibharta means confusing one thing with another. What you seeing is not true. What are you seeing? You're seeing this is one person, another person, another person, this is that matter. This is not true. It's all one. And that one is God. So if you say soul, they say, no, it's God. He said, did that matter? No, it's God. Everything was God. That God took a two form. And they don't want to accept that. You understand that? That is Mayavadism. And a lot of modern science also. Yes. That Brahman, that...
How would they explain, where does that confusion come from? Where does distinction, how does it evolve? What is their, how do they say...
You mean what causes them separate?
Yeah, in other words...
Illusion. Mayavadis, contact of illusion.
So the Mayavadis are saying... That
yeah, even Hiranyakashipu.
Now we think, oh, but what is that another thing? I mean, what is...
They, this is what, this is even Hiranyakashipu. On 7th canto, second chapter or third chapter, verse number 7 or 8, Prabhupada translate like this. Hiranyakashipu told when Hiranyaksha died to all his, what he called, crematory sermon. In that speech, very nice speech he gave, he says, God is very merciful, but he came to this material world, took the shelter of illusory energy and took a form of animal. He gave up his merciful nature. He's talking about Varahadev, animal. And so now, because he gave up this, I'm going to kill him. And with that blood, I will do the funeral ceremony of my brother. So then, if you look at this, how did Hiranyakashipu come up with that the God was there? Now God has come to this world, took shelter of Maya, and then got an animal body, or pig body, or what do you call, boar. Where is this idea coming from? Mayavad. Even in the beginning of creation, Brahmaji is pure devotee, and side by side also there is an impure idea was born. So how he explained, so how did Supreme Brahman becomes this separate contact of Maya. So then you say, what is their definition of Maya? Anirvachaniya. You cannot talk about it. You cannot explain. That means shut up. One of the definition of Maya, there is three definitions by Mayavadi. One definition is that Anirvachaniya. Certain things you cannot explain. How Brahman comes in contact with the Maya. Our logic is, we fight back. If there is only one substance, Brahman, then where is the secondary substance coming if there is no evidence? That's another way to look at it. If you are confused one thing with another, say Prabhupada gave that example. If you are confused rope with the snake, then you say, oh, this is not a snake, this is rope, but you thinking it's a snake in the evening, so you got afraid. So you seeing the material world is scary, but actually it's not scary. Just wake up, then you will see there is no fear. So then question comes, where, if there was no snake, how the confusion of snake comes in your mind? So snake has to also exist. You follow? Snake has to exist and rope has to exist.
Where do you be confused?
Exactly. And that they cannot explain. That they cannot explain. That's why we say we accept absolute truth with this inconceivable potency who display four features. Again, number one, the absolute Brahman, Swarup, who has unlimited manifestation, unlimited holy dham, unlimited associate. Two, third is the jivas, and fourth is pradhan. These four together we address as absolute God. We do not say absolute God. Prabhupada does not use so much absolute truth, Krishna. He says supreme personality of Godhead. It has a personality, he is supreme, proven, If you break down Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there has to be Godhead, it's like a fountain head. Then there is a fountain. Like Prabhupada, that's why Prabhupada repeats those examples. Krishna is like an ocean. All the incarnation is like a waves. It doesn't matter how many incarnations, all are within the ocean. Krishna is that ocean. So whatever incarnation, it doesn't matter. It still is Krishna. Waves of the ocean is also ocean. So every incarnation is also Krishna, but Krishna is the base of all. And the proof is, Krishna, Purna Isharja Bhagavan, Krishna Swarire Sarva Vishara Vishram. It is one personality who is the embodiment of unlimited personality combined in one. Generally people talk, you know, you believe your God, I believe my God, you know, less respect. You know, we can have a good fans, neighbor. You believe your God, I believe my God, least peaceful. Then there will be another group. No, no, no. His God, my God is all one God. Oh, he's also another philosopher. Very good, very good. We like that. But when you say every God, every incarnation has a nothing but one embodiment, that is Krishna, difficult to understand. Only the Hare Krishna people can understand. Difficult to understand that. That they don't grasp it. Very difficult. It is difficult. Because Krishna is not cheap. Krishna consciousness is not cheap. It's a very high philosophy. Doesn't matter. Many God, Krishna has an unlimited form. But what is the glory of vision? When we see Nrisimhadev, do we see Nrisimhadev? No, we see Krishna who took the form of Nrisimhadev. This is our view. We don't say Nrisimhadev, we say Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa. Keshav, who assumed the form of Krishna, Nrisimhadev. Keshav, who assumed the form of Varahadev. This is our view. We see only one God, Krishna, who took unlimited form. Why not? He's unlimited. This is very difficult for everybody to grasp. That Krishna also has the origin of Shiva form, Ganesh form, every form. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vanchakalpaturuvesha, Vipasindupayevacha, Patitanam Pavani, Bho Vaishnavi, Bho Namo Namo, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Land. Why you don't?